Beautiful.
And before I share from the message that God placed on my heart, I would like to introduce you to the ministry that you've supported through your women's department, through many garage sales before, through the outreach. Over the last 31 years that we established, Karen and I, who was a member of, as I said earlier, Kingsway Lambton United Church, established this ministry. So we brought together a video. If our tech guys can put it on, that would be awesome. Many times when I share this, the video doesn't work, so I'll keep talking till it starts, so don't wait for me to be done. Many times I share it, it doesn't work, glitches, technology. If for some reason it doesn't work, you can go on YouTube and watch it on YouTube. So let's just put our...
Sadly, too many youth, for one reason or another, fall victimized to the effects of poverty, mental illness, drug use, or other social casualty.
I had a bad temper and I was always getting into fights, getting suspended and expelled, which really was not mature of me, you know?
When youth are overwhelmed by their circumstances, they seek attention from someone who will listen to them.
We have a vision at Living Rock to reach out in the cultural language of youth.
And we started to get more of a heart for reaching out to this population. We started to realize that we actually had street-involved youth in the city of Hamilton. It wasn't just big cities like Toronto and, you know, New York.
In the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ontario, an organization exists who operate to reach out to such youth and doing an amazing job of helping young people get back on track who want to be transformed and integrated back into society.
We were just hanging out, you know, doing the teenager thing, and he brought me here. He's like, yo, let's go get some food. I'm like, I don't have any money. He's like, you don't have to. It's the Living Rock. They're here to help you.
While many may turn their backs on youth, the Living Rock stands behind these youth, determined to make a difference in each life that walks through their doors, and through guidance, transform each person into a success story.
They got me into a work-to-earn program called Rock Resources Reloaded. It's a program where you volunteer around the Living Rock and earn Rock dollars for what we have downstairs in the food bank. It's what's called the incentive room.
Well, programs I appreciate about the Rock, number one is Freestyle Fridays, because I love music. It's a healing, you know, it's a healer. That's what it does to you.
We founded the Rock in 1985, driving back from this Christian Rock Festival in Chicago, and just really talking about how it would be really cool to have something like this in the city of Hamilton and on the streets, and something that would reach out with God's heart.
What the Living Rock offers is a place for youth to find a comfortable place a few hours a week and to be cared for and listened to.
I really wanted to do something. Like, all I was doing is just drinking and smoking marijuana with my life, you know, but then I begged to Bob, you know, and Dave, I'm like, please give me the chance. I want to get onto Tri Rock. I want to work. I want to do something. It's like, I want to choose. You know, there's nothing that you can stop me from wanting, you know. Who are you to tell me, no, you can't? Because I'm the one choosing that I want to do better.
Oh, and it can be a cold, lonely road. No.
I have a coach through Rock Resources. His name is Kevin. We sit down once a week and talk about any issues I may be having outside of the Rock. It helps me set up my goals for the week and make plans around getting everything accomplished.
We also use all different forms of connecting, one-to-one coaching and support for youth. So they're planning their week at a glance and the things they need to get done. They're being referred to community resources and getting help. That's the encouragement part of the Rock.
So we really believe that this is a group of people that need a break, need a chance. We're not going to do it all for them. We call our staff coaches, not counselors. So our staff will come alongside and they will coach them and help them to find work.
He's really helpful. He sits there and listens. He asks me the questions that I don't really want to be asked, but need to be asked.
What I'm doing now is, well, after I graduated Tri-Rock, I got my bonus here, as you're aware, and then I went to the Bedrock Bistro, the restaurant on Park Dillon Main. I worked there. Not only was I cooking and dishwashing, cooking on the line, but I did renovation work too in the restaurant for Roger, my boss.
And we see youth, you know, we'll see them go through our program. Maybe they'll fail a few times, but they'll come back. And then something will just click. Like the young guy you interviewed earlier, it clicked for him. He was gang involved and really struggling with stuff. And then after a while, it just clicked, and now he's doing great. He's a success story.
So we really are seeing the value of getting youth equipped through the employment programs. We have a real heart to see youth get involved in social enterprises, which is them actually becoming employed at a rate that they're able to do through work projects. So that's our vision leading into the future. So we've got some really great opportunities to connect youth and build opportunity for relationship and community. And that's, I guess, more than ever before. Over 29 years, we're seeing youth becoming part of community.
Living Rock was simply Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you can build your house, build your life upon that rock, and when the hard times come, it's not going to have an effect. You're going to be able to stand through the storms.
When you've got no place to go, and when you've got no place you can call home, when you're stuck in a tough spot, oh, just let me be your living rock. And when you've got no place to go, and when you've got no place you can call to go, and when you've got no place you can call home, and when you've got no...
Man. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love." I wanted to talk about revival and what revival meant, and I really believe that revival, you hear about different concepts of that. Some people think revival is when there's new forms of music or when there's things happening in church communities where people are, the Quakers used to believe it was, you'd be shaking and quaking and people screaming out and things like that. And that's not necessarily revival. Revival is when the church rises up and becomes active, when the church connects with the poor, when the church starts to serve one another in love, when the church actually is doing the things that the Word of God instructs us to do. Oftentimes the church has been accused over the years of being things like a social club or being a place where people just meet and a place where people get together, and that's not necessarily wrong. We do need to assemble ourselves together. The Bible says, do not deny the assembling of yourselves together. Come together like you have this morning. But it's to lift one another up. It's to serve one another in love so that the church can be empowered to go out into a place like Living Rock or a place like some of the many of the ministries in the Toronto or GTA to serve the love of Christ with a compassionate heart. And that's what Christ has called us to. And that's revival. That's when the church is becoming from a place of death to a place of life. So Galatians, Paul says to the Galatian church, he says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." So when somebody asks you, what is your calling? Usually what they mean by that is, are you called to be a minister or a missionary or somebody that is into a full-time ministry capacity? But it's not really saying that. Next time you're asked, or if you're ever asked that question, say, when you're asked what your calling is, say, "I'm called to be free. I'm called to be liberated. I'm called to serve one another in love." Could it be, as Christians, we are free to serve God rather than just to do our own thing? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I believe that these are the marks of a true minister. And when I talk about a minister, I'm not talking about somebody that has the initials REV in front of their name. I'm talking about the ministers of the gospel, which there was no distinction in the Word of God between ministers and lay people. That term laity is not even in the Word of God. If you're a Christian, if you've given your hearts to the Lord, whether you attend a United Church or a Pentecostal Church or a Baptist Church, you're called to the ministry. You're called to the ministry. You might say, if you're a senior here today, "Well, I've gone through my time. I've done my time. I don't need to be called to anything." Well, I believe if you're breathing on this earth and you're still active in this earth, you're called as a Christian to continue in the ministry that God's called you to. And I know I already pointed her out once, but I'll even use my mother-in-law, Donna Siddle, as an example of that. Any of you who know Donna Siddle knows that this is an individual who is an active minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, going out having Bible studies with ladies through Christian Women's Club, serving at your garage sale here at Kingsway Lambton, and whenever there's been a death, someone's taken home to be with the Lord, she's coordinating the funeral arrangements and ministering to the people that are in grief. And that's a true minister of the gospel. You know what? There's no part-time Christians. There's no place for part-time Christians. You may say, well, I have a full-time job, and my job is as an electrician, or my job is a carpenter, or my job is that. Well, that may be how you make a living. The Apostle Paul had a job. He was a tent maker. And all of the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that were high up in positions on that day in the Judaic faith, all of them had professions like that. They all worked. None of the rabbis actually got paid to be in full-time ministry. They all had professions and things they did, like Paul, who was a tent maker. So that may be what you are, but Paul was a minister of the gospel. So when people say, well, who are you? And you say, or what do you do? And basically what they're asking you is, what is your label? And you might say, I'm a doctor. Don't say that if you're not, by the way. You know, you get in trouble that way. Or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a professor, or I'm a laborer, or I am unemployed. That's not your identity. If you are a Christian, you're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are called to be free to serve the gospel and to serve one another. I believe the things that I'm going to talk about mark what a minister is and mark what a Christian is. So my opening question to you is, what is faithfulness or trustworthiness? Faithfulness is love's measure. It has to do with us staying true to our commitments and trust to do what we say we're doing. It's like Noah, for example. You have all heard of Noah, right? The dude that had the boat, right? Noah is faithful to building an ark in spite of it being the most craziest commandment that you could possibly get. I don't know if they were out in the desert or somewhere, but I feel like they weren't even close to water. And here's this nut bar building a boat, right? And people are probably mocking him and jeering him and telling him he's crazy. And sometimes when God calls you to do something, it seems crazy. I'll be honest with you. When I went into to study to go into the ministry, I said two things to God. I said, I don't want to do any public speaking. I'll do ministry, but I don't want to do any public speaking. To be honest with you, I'm petrified of speaking in front of people. Not anymore, but I used to be. And matter of fact, the first time I ever preached, I looked down at my notes, and this was my sermon. I had 20 minutes. I don't know how long I have here. I forgot to ask, so forgive me. But when I the first place I ever spoke, and I had taken a homiletics class, and I'd taken hermeneutics and theology, and I was really, you know, I thought I was prepared, and I had this great sermon I prepared. So I looked down and I said, and I just read my notes because I couldn't handle looking at people, because people were looking like this and had mean looks on their faces. Not you guys, by the way. You guys are all nice and friendly and laughable, but these guys were all looking at me like, who is this guy? I was just a kid at the time, I was like 23. And I got up and I stood and I read my notes and I said, justification by faith is concomitant to the ascetic monastic era in our generation. And I looked up and that was my sermon. It was done. And I had a few other things written down, so I just read them real quick, and I looked up, and they were so unimpressed. And I went to my dorm room after that, and I said, God, I don't ever want to ever have to preach again. I'll do anything else that you ask me to do, but I don't want to have to ever preach. And I thought God said, oh, there's one other thing. I said, I don't want to have to go in hospitals either, because I hate hospitals. So obviously I'm not being called to being a pastor. And I thought God said, no problem, don't worry about it. That's what I thought I heard. Maybe it was just some delusional word that came into my head, but that's what I thought he said. And then he called me to go and stand out and do the thing that was way outside of my comfort zone, and he called me to go out and to do the ministry. Then he called me to start this crazy ministry called Living Rock Ministries. I had no idea how to start a ministry. I had no idea what to do. And then Karen and I, we just got some people together and we prayed and we asked God and we prayed and we said, what are we supposed to do? And we kept praying and God started adding it on. It wasn't some big government funding. There was nothing. there was, again, my mother-in-law putting on garage sales to try to raise money for us, and I think she wanted me to get off a salary. I think that was it, to take care of her daughter, but I don't know. She never said that, but she was very diligent and helped us, and that was it. But God took that seed, and he multiplied it into what it is today. Now we're an organization, and this isn't bragging, by the way, this is just a fact. We're an organization that has two buildings actually side by side, debt-free, paid for, and we have an annual budget of about $1.5 million a year, and we have about close to between 28 to 30 staff on payroll, and about 150 volunteers. So that was a snapshot that you saw in the video. And I don't say that out of any bragging rights, because I wasn't trained or I wasn't equipped in this. I simply believe that when God calls you to do something, he opens the doors ahead of you. And whatever your calling is, it may not be something on the scale of starting a ministry, but I would encourage you to walk through the door that he opens for you and to do the thing that he's called you to do, because I guarantee you that you'll be fulfilled as you do that, that you'll be fulfilled as a Christian. And even if you've had a long career and now you're just wanting to relax on the beach, you know, ask God what's next, and he'll give it to you. And he, as you wait on him, it says in the Word of God, as you wait on him, it says in Isaiah 40, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary, it says. You will walk and not grow faint. That scripture goes on to say, even youths, and we see this all the time, youths tired, youths who have had their lives turned around through things like sexual abuse, drug abuse, all kinds of things that are bombarding their minds through the internet, pornography, all kinds of things going on, violence. They're weary. But the Bible says, if you wait on the Lord and listen to his voice, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not grow weary, and walk and not grow faint. So my question to you is, do you want to run and not grow weary? Do you want to be like the cool bike, Harley Davidson, and mount up with wings as eagles and walk and not grow weary? You know, there's many times when in ministry, and even just recently, when I felt incredibly weary and almost felt like just giving up. But God will renew your strength as we wait on him. Sometimes the hardest things to do, though, is to wait on Lord, to wait on him, to listen to his voice, to be in communion with him, to allow him to raise you up and energize you. And now you to be like that Energizer bunny on the commercial. Remember, that dates me a little bit because I haven't seen it for a while, but that bunny used to bug me because you'd watch the commercial and then there'd be a couple other commercials, and then another commercial about the bunny would just kind of go through your screen. And the whole point of that was that it keeps on going. It just keeps on going. It keeps on going because it has Energizer batteries. Well, I tell you, the Holy Spirit can energize your batteries and recharge your batteries as you go forward in him. You have to accept it. You have to be willing, and you read the scripture earlier, you have to be willing, like Peter, to do the insane thing, like walking in and out of a nice dry boat onto a stormy winter weather type day, to walk in the water just because Jesus said, come on, I'll keep you safe. Yeah, we criticize him for losing his faith and looking at the storm and sinking. We criticize him for that. But look at all the other disciples. They were all in a nice, warm, dry boat. None of them else had got out and walked on the water. Peter did. And then when he did sink, which we many times do, even in ministry, we stumble, we trip sometimes. Peter put his hand out, or Jesus put his hand out to Peter and brought him back up to safety. God will never leave you or forsake you. You know that's in the Word of God 7 times? He will never leave you, never forsake you. When somebody says something to me 7 times, I think they're trying to get a point across. God will never leave you, never forsake you. There's lots of reasons why we don't do what God's called us to do. Tons of reasons. The man who really wants to do something will find a way. The other man will find an excuse. You know, it's soon going to be too hot to do the job it was too cold to do last winter. You know, we'll find all kinds of things. But the best way to witness for Christ, and we've heard all the verbal stuff, we've heard the TV evangelists, the Christian television TV shows. We've heard the preachers in church. But the best way to witness for Christ is action instead of words. So maybe you're not called to be a public speaker, but let your life speak. Francis of Assisi said, speak seldom. You know, speak seldom, but preach always. Just occasionally speak, but preach always. Francis of Assisi was a great man of God and accomplished many great things. Matter of fact, I was led to Christ through the Franciscan order, still serving to this day. So the best way is do things like keep your promises, pay your bills, honor your appointments, stay in course with your commitments, keep your word. Your word is your bond. Go the second mile. That was an example of the Roman soldiers had the right to tell you that you have to carry my knapsack. And they were heavy knapsacks, backpacks. You have to carry, that's the law. And you have to carry it for exactly 1 mile. And after that mile, you can take it down and throw it on the ground and say, I'm free, and walk away, and the soldier could do nothing about it. But what Jesus is saying, don't just carry it for 1 mile, as what the law says. Carry it for 2 miles. Go the extra mile. And that's what that an example is. So go the extra mile. Well, it's not my calling. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm busy, and we have a very extremely busy society. I talked to a guy that was on a board, serves on a board with me, and he said, you know, now that I'm retired, I'm too busy now. I'm too busy to get anything done now that I'm retired. You know, there's always lots of things that will grab our attention and grab our time, even things in the church. But God wants us to be faithful to the call that he's put on our lives. And he wants us to serve him. And if you're still here, you still have a calling. You know, I say this, and I know Karen hates this joke, you know, but I can't help saying it today again. There's no retirement plan in God's kingdom. Well, there is a retirement plan, but it's way out of this world, okay? So if you're looking for that retirement plan, yeah, there is one. There was a great missionary, Phoebe, and I can't think of her last name right now, but she was a missionary, and she served God with all her heart. Phoebe Palmer, that was the name. And she had hurt herself and had become almost paralyzed, and she continued to minister. She continued to minister through her prayers, turned the world upside down through her prayers, you know, sent letters to people that were incarcerated, served people. She continued to minister and make a difference, even although she was paralyzed. I work in a detention center as a chaplain, and there was a Catholic nun there called Sister Catherine, who just recently went home to be with the Lord. And she, you know, was so diligent. Even when she broke her hip, she would come in with the walker in great pain to minister to these gang-involved young offenders. Way more than I would do, I'll tell you. And when she didn't come in, I one day almost had a riot. When I went to see these youth, and they looked at me and goes, you're not Sister Catherine. I said, what was your first clue? And then they almost had a riot, because I said, she can't come in for a while because she's been laid up. So when I told her that, I sort of took her about an hour and a half to get down the hallway to go visit these young guys, you know. But she got there and she ministered to them, and they were so blessed. And I have youth today who are now in their 30s and older who say, that lady changed my life. That lady had such an impact on me. She was very elderly, all bent over, and yet she had this impact on these gang-involved, incarcerated young offenders. You might say, I don't culturally relate, I'm too old, too young, I don't culturally relate, but when God puts a calling on your heart, it doesn't matter. God will use you to transform and make a difference. There are many good reasons for lack of faithful. There really aren't enough crutches in the world for all the lame excuses. You know that? Not enough crutches in this world for all the lame excuses to why we shouldn't do what God's called us to do. How does God view the faithful? God preserves the faithful. He will keep you from burnout. I know there are reasons for burnout. There's reasons for burnout, not enough sleep, maybe substance abuse or whatever. But God will preserve you, it says, in his word. Psalm 31, verse 23 says, oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. God sees the faithful and takes delight in it, even when it's done in private. Even when you do something in private that nobody else gives you thanks for and nobody pats you on the back for, God sees it, and God will reward it, and God will sustain you through that time, preserve you, as his word says. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination of the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, and these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach. God has called us. God has called us to be faithful. God has called us to give him his heart, to give us our heart. He's called us to be his slaves, his servants, to be sold out to him, To be faithful to Christ means to be sold out to him as an actual slave. James says that we are the doulias of Christ, the slaves, the ones that are sold out, the servants of him. God's called us to absolute obedience so that we have no rights of our own, but he is in absolute possession of us. He is our master, and we have to give him our lives. And if you want absolute abundant life, that's what God's called you to do. That's what God has called you. And he will sustain you, as we've already talked about, because we can get concerned. I don't want to burn out. I don't want to get too busy. You know, God will preserve the faithful. God will sustain those who follow him. So I want to close in a song, if I could. I don't know if I've gone over my time or not. And but I'd like to... Oh, I need that. Sorry. So my encouragement to you is to ask God to raise you up, to seek God, to ask him for what his call in your life is, and to give him everything that he has called you to. I remember Corrie Ten Boom, who was a lady that had gone through the Jewish Holocaust, and she remember her saying that her dad always, before she got on a train, you know, he wouldn't give her the ticket to ride the train until the train was in the station. And sometimes God will not give you all the answers and the abilities and the resources to do the thing that he's called you to do. When we started The Rock, we had zero money. We had, you know, we had nothing. We had no resources. We had no expertise or anything, but God gave us all the things we needed to do that just by being obedient to him and by being in prayer. And I really believe 100% if you make him the king of your heart, if you make him the Lord of your life, that God will sustain you and call you and preserve you until the day that you leave this planet. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he's my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he's my song. For you are good, good, oh, 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 you are good, good, oh, oh, yeah, you are good, good. Oh, 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 you are good, good. Oh, oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sail, the anchor in the waves, oh, he's my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my day, oh, he's my song. 'Cause you are good, good, oh, 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 you are good, good, oh, oh, you are good, good, oh, oh, oh. You are good, good, oh, oh, oh. You do the first verse again. If you know it, feel free to sing. Or if you don't, just fake it. Do what I do when I don't know a song. I just make words up, like, and I'm going to mumble a little bit. So, real easy. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Let the king of my heart be the fountain where I run, the mountain I drink from, oh, he's my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he's my song. 'Cause you are good, good, oh, oh, oh,
You are good, good. Oh, 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 yeah, you are good, good. Oh, 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 you are good, good. Oh, 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 you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down, no. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down, no. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down, no. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down, no. You are good, good. Oh, oh, oh. You are good, good. Oh, 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 oh. You are good, good. Oh, 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 oh. You are good, good. Oh, oh, oh. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sail, the anchor in the waves, oh, he's my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he's my song. You are good, good. Oh, 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 you are good. Sing it with me. Good. Oh, oh, oh. I know you can sing. I heard you earlier. You are good. Good. Oh, oh, oh. You are good. Good. Oh, oh, oh. You are good. Good. Oh, 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 yes, you are, Lord. You are good. Good. Oh, 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 one more time. You are good. Good. Oh, 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 you are good. Good. Oh, 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 you are good. Good. Oh, 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 thank you, Father. You are good, good. Oh, oh, oh. Thank you, Father. We praise your name. We thank you, Father, for that you preserve us. We thank you, Father, that you give us your energy, Lord God, that you give us your calling, Lord God, and that you sustain us even through the trials, even through the hard times. You tell us, Lord, not to grow weary in well-doing, but in due season we'll reap the harvest, Lord God. In due season, Lord. Father God, for those who have labored and those who have served diligently, but maybe not even seen the results, Father God, I pray that you'd pour out your Spirit on them and they would see, Father God, that which you have called them to and that which you have accomplished through their lives, Lord God. Father, you're a good Father, and we thank you, and we thank you that you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen.